Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the kingdom come.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside, where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to this Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome to...
Jurassic World. We're jumping the gun.
So I am your conspiracy-loving host, Elisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in grime, Jarrett, the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hi.
Nice to see you today.
Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you after all this time. We conclude our double feature of summer blockbusters with the comeback of a 90s dinosaur trilogy.
Come back. The park's open, folks. It's...
Jurassic World. The park's open.
Yeah.
We're doing this episode because tomorrow... And we're speaking like we're actually talking to your ears right now.
Yeah.
We're not recording this Thursday, but tomorrow... Yeah. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom comes out.
Yeah. The park is open with this movie. And with the Fallen Kingdom, the tagline is, the park is gone.
That's a terrible tagline.
Well, it's because the park is fucking gone, like off the map. It's exploded from that fucking volcano.
Oh.
But now we're taking a step back and we'll talk about Fallen Kingdom a little bit at the end.
Yes.
We'll do, we're doing Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Now, this one's been cooking in the crock pot for an awful long time. Okay. The dino crock pot.
Yes.
So it's got quite a history.
Mm-hmm.
After the moderate box office success of Jurassic Park 3, a Jurassic Park 4 was immediately being planned.
Yeah, why not?
Of course. Money.
I made some of that money.
I want more money, please.
Yeah, slapped it on a plastic lunchbox and now you're selling it. You want to sell it. Well,
the kids want it. The kids need it.
Yeah.
So Jurassic Park 3 seems to have thrown... the team into a story confusion.
Yeah, they went to Site B twice, the same island in Lost World. They don't know where to go now.
They don't know what to do. Who's going to be in it? What's it going to be?
They used Dr. Malcolm, and they used Dr. Grant twice, and Dr. Malcolm twice. Mm-hmm. So now what do? They want to use Dr. Malcolm and Dr. Grant again.
Yeah.
At least that's what they wanted to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Early story ideas included Dr. Ian Malcolm and Alan Grant coming to the South American mainland.
Yeah, having a little bachelor little trip.
Hanging out. Well, at this point, they'd be like really sad.
Yeah.
Because Ellie rejected both of them.
That would be one of those good movies that's like aimed towards the older audience. Like they get like... Robert Duvall, Robert De Niro, and they go to Vegas because they gotta get some will signed so his son can get his estate, which he doesn't even like his son. I don't know. Anyway, I can write one of those movies in a minute.
You can write all kinds of movies. Just bam, 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 bam.
And Malcolm and Alan Grant, they go fight dinosaurs again.
Yeah.
For some reason.
They're going to the mainland this time.
Yeah, because dinosaurs finally making it to the mainland, even though they have. San Diego incident is canon, folks.
Everyone pretends it ain't canon. It's canon. So, the dinosaurs are running wild.
Yeah.
It is said to no longer be set in the jungle.
No more jungle.
No more.
Jungle to jungle.
And include a massive underwater action sequence.
Yeah, this is something that gets brought up later, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they got their underwater
this looks like action. This looks like it's actually in the new movie. It might be. But yeah, keep going.
The plot included a third island populated by dinosaurs. Again, like, why do you need a third one? The second one is populated by dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And some kind of conspiracy element.
Ooh.
Like involving the government?
Maybe.
Paleontologist and technical advisor for the series, Jack Horner, stated that Velociraptors would be an integral part of the plot and hinted that the film would imply that humans had evolved from dinosaurs instead of mammals, which
it's weird.
I'm sorry, that science seems like it's not believable. You can believe the science in Jurassic Park with the amber and the mosquitoes and stuff, even though it can't happen. Like, in your little kid brain, you're like,
I'm not sure if he's being misquoted or if he's just literally gone cuckoo bananas. But there was a theory, like, if mammals never came to be and if there was never a mass extinction, because raptors were really, really smart. If evolution is like a set process, would eventually they turn into like a bipedal humanoid kind of creature? Just because evolution is kind of something that happens in a similar way, no matter what creature it happens with. But, I mean, I don't know if that's what he's talking about.
I don't know.
I've seen it as a kid in dinosaur documentaries and things like that.
Well, I think that probably they wouldn't have, because the environment the Earth was in wouldn't have changed.
That's true.
So drastically.
I think it's a very, very...
It's like fucking a flap of a butterfly wing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This is like a bajillion flaps of a bajillion butterfly wings.
Yeah, it'd be
Come
hard.
Come on, to, man. How are we supposed to fucking know?
It'd be hard to count on something happening exactly to want it to happen and create another human, you know?
If the dinosaurs were still around, I think we'd already be doing intergalactic space travel.
With dinosaurs.
But yeah, dinosaurs invented it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
I think that they would have been way better at being the main species for longer.
Yeah, we're getting really deep into theories right now.
We're getting really philosophical.
And we're supposed to be talking about Jurassic World.
Oh, whoops. Anyway, so a later draft written by John Sayles dropped all returning characters other than Mr. Hammond and followed a new character, a mercenary who trains genetically modified dinosaurs by dangerous rescue missions. Four dangerous rescue missions.
That sounds a little familiar. Two things sound familiar there. Genetically modified dinosaurs and trained dinosaurs by a mercenary type character.
Yeah. Because that character appears to have been the inspiration for Owen Grady.
Owen Grady in the movie that comes, like, what, like eight years after this one, after this draft.
Yeah. So it's like they kind of, as we'll see later on, like, picked and choose.
Yeah.
What they liked from all of these weird-ass ideas.
Yeah, all these drafts, they kind of, like, they keep the things that they like in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
As they go through.
So a later draft went even crazier still, written by Sayles, containing dinosaur-human hybrids.
Oh,
man. And even went as far to have concept designs created for the creatures and was rumored to be the beginning of a new trilogy for the series. Think of it as humanoid dinosaur hybrids holding guns.
Yes. We.
And the pictures are so stupid.
We will show you some of these pictures. They are insane.
They're so stupid.
When I was... As I said when we did the Jurassic Park 3 episode, this was like the first time I was into forums and fan culture of the internet, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was, these pictures were leaking after I was in the forums and I had just seen Jurassic Park 3 and I was disappointed about it. And I was like, and now this, what?
How dare you?
I was like, you're going to redeem yourself for Jurassic Park 3 with these fucking monsters. Like, they look like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle characters. like yeah. something from that universe, like mutated crocodiles with guns or something, which would be fine in a cartoon.
If it wasn't Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It would work well in like a Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movie or something.
Yeah,
like
but that. Get it out of my sight.
Yeah, they're walking with pants on. Like, there's a Triceratops that's walking on two legs.
It has, oh, it's like, horrifying. It's awful.
It has like a gun for an arm. It's like, what the fuck?
How are did you guys Michael think? Crichton not die then?
Like, I'm
die from embarrassment.
that comic book illustrator, like, I'm glad he at least got some money, and he probably got some more work. But
that's true.
But
good for him.
I'm glad his ideas didn't get put into film, at least.
Yeah. So Spielberg conceived a familiar action sequence for the film that involved characters being chased on motorcycles by velociraptors. This later would be reworked into the Raptor Squad scene in Jurassic World,
mm-hmm.
which is an awesome scene.
Yeah,
I like it.
It actually wasn't a similar scene in the Lost World novel, actually. Wasn't there a electric motorcycle or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Raptors. I have to read that novel again, but
yeah, it's been a while.
They had electric motorcycles because they had to bring electric vehicles yeah. or something. But yeah, it was something like that. There was definitely a scene like that, so he might have taken some inspiration from the book. But we'll get to more things from the book.
Well, as you notice in these movies, there's always like just that glowing tinge of book inspiration,
oh, yeah.
like throughout everything.
Michael Crichton may have passed on, but they definitely need some of his magic to make some of the sequels okay.
Yeah. Well, his books are amazing.
Yes, they are.
So, after repeated revisions to the script over the next few years, all previous concepts were then dropped and a new storyline was being worked on at the beginning of 2006.
Yeah.
At one time, even Laura Dern and Richard Attenborough confirmed that they had been asked to return for the new film, but development ceased during the 2008 Writers Guild of America strike, and eventually came to a halt when Michael Crichton passed away on November 4th of that year.
And from then on, the project remained dormant until 2011.
Dun dun!
Where it got a little burst of life, a little electricity from Dr. Frankenstein's lair.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg Frankenstein. A story was formulated. Action scenes and ideas were taken from the previous scripts, and they were put together to formulate what became a script that Steven Spielberg started to like. A cohesive story and a cohesive sequel. It really was hard to please Spielberg, which from the last couple of his films, it didn't seem like.
I'm like, really?
Yeah,
that
I know.
Hard to please?
I know, right? So screenwriters Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver, most known for their amazing Planet of the Apes reboots that they've written, the last three.
Oh, so good.
If you haven't seen those, you really should. They're the ones that wrote Jurassic World, and they did a pretty good job, I think.
I think they did a great job.
And there was actually a little controversy about that. There was a little dispute on who should get credit for it.
Really?
Who should get credit for the original story between them, Trevorrow, and another guy. But they ended up getting credit. They were awarded credit by the Writers Guild. Too many times writers are robbed of their credit, I think. But yeah, if you haven't seen those Planet of the Apes movies, you should.
They're very, very well written.
Yeah, unfortunately, these writers were roped into the Avatar sequels, so I don't know if they can even save those stinkeroos.
Avatar, terrible.
So as this movie was winding down and getting ready for production, they were starting to cast people, and Jack Black was even considered for a role. The villain role, one of the villains, there's a couple antagonists in this role, in this movie.
Yeah, the Vic Hoskins.
Yeah, it went to Vincent D'Onofrio, the guy that played the bug in Men in Black. But I think Jack Black would have been okay in the role.
He would have been good, but I prefer it not being a comedian or a funny man.
Yeah.
I think that it's made him more sinister.
It would have been a different role. I mean, it would have injected a little more comedy since Chris Pratt is dull as fuck in this movie.
He looks like he's going to be better in this next one.
I know.
But yeah, his character, I don't know if... Okay, so when we were watching it this past weekend, I was noticing it might not have been entirely his fault. Like, it seemed like a lot of the editing around his dialogue, especially with Bryce, was very awkward. But I mean... The thing is you have to realize when they, like, edit things, like, that could have been one take of him saying something and another take completely of her saying something. Like,
yeah.
And he could have acted his heart out.
Yeah, I mean...
Of, like, those two scenes, but when you splice them together, it makes no sense. And he had no control over that.
Yeah, because I always look at, like, behind-the-scenes footage, and a lot of times you can see in behind-the-scenes footage when somebody do not have... chemistry. Like, you'll see after people cut, they'll just walk off and not talk to their co-stars, but it seemed like they had fun on this movie, so I didn't didn't seem like they should not be having fun and
I think
embracing the roles.
Well, I think that it really was the dialogue editing, because also the two boys were fucking awful.
Yeah,
and that crying scene, come on, either that boy is just god awful or it's edited fucking god awful.
Yeah, I mean, even though the screenwriters, well, since we're talking about screenwriting, I have nothing but praise for the Planet of the Apes movies. Their writing and dialogue and everything is immaculate in those movies. These movies are really kind of stale on that end.
It's not as well written as Planet of the Apes.
I think maybe because it's a bigger, less intimate movie. It's much broader strokes. It's kind of like, let's get to the next action sequence. Let's get to the next dinosaur.
The emotions aren't as high.
Yeah.
This is like a action movie. There's like a bit of love interest, a bit of, like, you know, drama, but it's not like Planet of the Apes.
Which is also surprising because Colin Trevorrow's movie right before this, Safety Not Guaranteed, was a very small... sci-fi dramedy with a lot of heart and can bring a tear even to my eye. So, I mean, I thought that he would be able to inject some of that heart in a big action blockbuster, but I didn't see it in any of the characters, really.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I still like the movie, but I just thought I'd inject a little bit of criticism in the writing and the dialogue.
Yes.
And some of the acting, I guess. I criticize everything there.
I think the editing is most. You think the editing?
I think the editing is great in the action sequences. The editing is great on the action.
But the editing of the dialogue.
Yeah.
And the human interaction is awful.
I think it's just trying to get to the next action scene. The editor's like, okay, I don't really know how to do this. Let's get to the things I know how to edit.
It's like they took the editor from a Michael Bay movie.
Or like
gave it to this movie.
It feels like it was edited like a newer Star Wars movie to me. Like the newer Star Wars movies, the human interactions aren't as well done to me as the older ones. And they just kind of get to the action sequences to me as well. I don't know. That's how I feel.
I feel you.
So where were we?
So Richard Attenborough was keen on returning for a role way back in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
But Jurassic Park 4, unfortunately, was in production hell, and the delays ended up not letting him have that dream come true.
Yeah.
He passed away on August 24th, 2014.
Yeah, a week before my birthday.
R.I.P.
Sad. We were in Long Beach. I remember the day he died.
I remember because you were the one who told me.
Very sad. That was very sad. I remember they were talking about doing the movie. It was already confirmed, but then he died, and then...
Well, they had just... I think they had shown it at Comic-Con.
Yeah, like a little teaser. But, yeah, that was real sad. And then they had, like, the statue of him in the movie. Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice. Kind of a little... Nice little tribute there.
Yeah, nice. So...
Of course, we all know the plot of this movie. I would hope so.
Well, I mean, if you don't, it's, you know, go watch it.
Yeah, hopefully you've watched it. We'll wait. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, now that you've watched it. Oh, no. Jurassic Park is now opened. It's now Jurassic World. It's owned by a new company, Masrani Global.
Yeah.
It's owned by a guy named Masrani. He supposedly was told by John Hammond that he is the one that could put forth John Hammond's dream. He knew John Hammond. And now there is a fully functioning Jurassic Park, and it's been open since 2005.
Yeah, and it's got tons of dinosaurs, mm-hmm. got a resort. It's like, good. Like, it's a good dinosaur park.
it seems like it is, yes.
And so there's some main characters.
Yeah.
There's
the big mama's house. Claire, she's the big mama.
Oh.
She's in charge of everything.
Yeah, I'm unclear about what her role is. She's like manager of the park?
Yeah, park manager, I think.
Park manager. And then there's Chris Pratt's character, Owen Grady Brady.
The Brady Bunch.
And he's the raptor trainer.
Yeah.
And then there's the two shit kids.
Yeah, they are Claire's nephews. And they were sent there because their parents are shitheads.
Yeah, and they're getting divorced.
They need some time to get divorced. They sent their kids to get eaten.
Yeah. So we show up. And
there's Dr. Wu from the first park.
Oh, hell yeah, there's Dr. Wu.
Yeah, we thought Dr. Wu was like nice little guy from the lab from the first park.
No, he's evil. He's straight up evil.
And that's pretty much of the. Oh, and Vic Hoskins, we talked about him a little bit. He wants to turn the raptors into weapons.
Yeah, you know.
Basically, those are the main characters, and we can fill you in as we go. Dinosaurs go crazy. Oh, and they built a hybrid dinosaur.
They built a hybrid dinosaur. It's like a T-Rex mixed with a Carnosaur.
Carnotaurus. It's a base gene T-Rex. It has raptor. It has Carnotaurus.
Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish.
It has, the tree frog.
It has tree frog DNA. It has...
I think that's all that we have confirmed.
No, it has Giganotosaurus.
What is that?
It's a really big theropod, even bigger than T-Rex or Spinosaurus.
Holy shit.
They use that for the size, I believe. And they use Therizinosaurus. It's a really big dinosaur with huge claws. That's where they get the huge long claws.
Oh, I thought that was from the raptor.
No. Therizinosaurus has claws that just stick out, so super long. There's a lot of different things that they use to get certain aspects of it.
You can't get exaggerated predator. What is it called?
They have it on. They have like a one cool thing about this is like the marketing they did. They had like a working website that looked like a real website for a theme park, and you can go look at the websites for each dinosaur and stuff like that. It was cool.
Yeah. So there was something really interesting about the Indominus Rex is actually that the director kind of held it as like a symbol for consumer and corporate excess.
Mm-hmm.
And how like people just want more, 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 more.
Yeah.
Regardless of like the damage it does to mm-hmm. everything around it. Which I think is definitely well mirrored.
Yeah, I mean, how could anybody be bored of a dinosaur? Like, if somebody, the thought of someone being bored of seeing a dinosaur is crazy to me. But then it was opened in 2005, supposedly, and this movie takes place in 2015, so it's 10 years in. 10 years of dinosaurs, I guess you could be bored of dinosaurs. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just like it's not special.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I mean, when you first saw a shark in an aquarium, back when they first put sharks in an aquarium, I guess that was super special. Now we definitely take that for granted.
First time you see, I saw a lion.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, any of those things. But it just shows like, you know, how we're just so... We just want more. We don't care what we have to sacrifice.
Desensitization.
Yeah, because like the Indominus Rex, like it was so much, and it just it
more
to
teeth.
Get it, they had to sacrifice safety and all these things, and they didn't care just to get more money.
Yeah, and it was an eruption of this creature's psyche almost, and it erupted on the people.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, there's a lot of like cool little symbologies.
Yeah. Symbologies. Symbolism.
Symbologies.
So the two Jeeps, it's kind of a little tidbit, little mythos, Jurassic Park mythos. When Zach and Gray, the two little shit kids, they're running through the park, they end up at the old visitor center, which is a great little scene. They see the two Jeeps. The two Jeeps are the same Jeeps that brought Ellie and all the guys and girls to the visitor center in the first movie.
Yes.
You could tell by the numbers on the name tags.
Very just cool.
A little bit for the Jurassic fans, dear.
Also, another tidbit. Death count.
Death count. Meh, meh, meh.
Is 22.
Ooh, 22.
The Indominus Rex killed 10 people.
Ooh, coming in with the win.
The Pteranodons killed 3.
Ooh, on screen. There's tons of them flying around. I'm sure there's tons off screen, though.
Yeah. The Raptors killed 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mosasaurus killed 1.
Yeah, that dropped one in his mouth.
Yeah. Okay, I can't believe the number for Raptor is so high and the Pteranodon is so low.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Pteranodons picking at people, but I don't know.
Because the Raptor scene is just like 5 seconds when the Raptors are free with the humans around.
Yeah, I don't know.
They literally take down 8 people in like so little time.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
But I mean, I guess that's what
there's a lot of
say about raptors.
A lot of those stupid little mercenaries are cannon fodder for the raptors.
Yeah. So there's things that got left out.
Yeah, something that I wish I would have seen. A dinosaur that I thought got left out that I thought was a fan favorite and got left out of the other two movies, the other two sequels. The Dilophosaurus.
I would have loved to see the Dilophosaurus again.
I mean, it got a little nod. With like a little hologram. It showed like a hologram that distracted a velociraptor and helped them escape. But yeah, there was supposed to be a short little action scene where Zach and Gray, the two little shit kids, as we say, were hiding from 3 Dilophosaurs. 3 Dilophosaurs. We could have saw 3 Dilophosaurs. We've only seen one.
And we could have seen 3 times as many.
And it's still my favorite. I've only seen one. And I'm... Yeah, we could have seen 3, like, chasing these dumb kids in the same area where Dennis Nedry got eaten. We could have seen that. We could have seen Nostalgia, too.
We could have seen his bones.
And we could have seen the little embryo thing, the little Barbasol kid.
Yeah, because they were supposed to find it.
Yeah. Not that it would have mattered, but still, we could have saw it.
They would have been long dead. So there was a lot of things that were taken from the book.
Mm-hmm.
The I-Rex... Get it.
The I-Rex. Indominus. Yes.
Camouflage ability resembles the Carnotaurs from the Lost World novel.
Mm-hmm.
And they share the same ability.
Yeah.
Of camouflage. Oh, we already said that. Confused. Who share the same ability.
Yes.
It just so happens that Carnotaurus DNA was supposedly used in the creation of the Indominus. But mainly to obtain the pair of horns on its head, not the camouflage.
Yeah, they just wanted to make it look cooler.
Although Dr. Wu said that the camouflage came from the cuttlefish.
The cuttlefish.
All right. Mr. Masrani and Dr. Henry Wu talk about the Indominus. Dr. Wu tells him, "Nothing we have here is natural." This dialogue is taken from the first book, Jurassic Park. But in the book, Dr. Wu says this to John Hammond. Which I thought that was a really interesting line because it makes you think like, oh man, like these don't look like what they probably would have in nature.
Well, yeah.
Like amped up versions of dinosaurs.
Half of them would definitely have feathers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And also from the book, this made me think of the book for sure. Barry, the Owen Grady's little assistant guy. He, when he's hiding from the velociraptors in the little velociraptor attack, he hides in a little hollowed out log, which is similar to the pipe that Muldoon, I believe, hides in from the when he hides from the velociraptors. And it really made me think of that as well. So I don't know if that's taken from the book, but it made me think of the book. Maybe because I've read that book too much.
There's no such thing. So moving on to production. This is director Colin Trevorrow's second feature film after the smaller sci-fi dramedy starring Aubrey Plaza, Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's about time travel, right?
Yeah, it's about, it's a little time travel-y movie. It's kind of like a comedy with like a hermit trying to build a time machine and falls in love with a girl. And
don't give him away.
You could say if it falls in love with a girl.
We don't know that.
Yeah, well, whatever.
But it's a really good movie. I really liked it.
I enjoyed it as well. And in addition to the staple of filming in Hawaii, which all the Jurassic Parks have, they also filmed in New Orleans. Well, at least outside of New Orleans, and an abandoned Six Flags area. They have an abandoned Six Flags. This is where they filmed the... like the main street and the boardwalk area, kind of like where all the attractions like open up and all the shops are and stuff like that.
The Brookstone.
Yeah, and the Margaritaville. Yeah, that's where they filmed all that. They built all those sets. They filmed there for almost 3 weeks. So in addition to that, of course, they did do some filming in Hawaii in Kualua Ranch.
No idea.
Yeah, they're not very easy. I can do the Japanese names, but I cannot do Hawaiian names. Kualua Ranch, Oahu. This is where they filmed the Gyrosphere. And also the Gallimimus Stampede scenes.
Yes.
This is also where they filmed the Gallimimus scene from the first Jurassic Park, just about 200 yards away from where they filmed this one, the one you see in this movie.
Do they still have the giant tree?
Yes, they still have that. You can see that in lots of different honeymoon pictures.
So the Jurassic World Control Center set was created after doing research at the Universal Studios theme park in Orlando, Florida. Production designers also based some of the set on the NASA control room, which you can totally see.
Yeah.
Colin Trevorrow was actually disappointed after seeing the control room at Universal Studios, which was just a few guys and some small old monitors.
That sounds like if you want to commit a crime... go to Universal Studios Orlando.
Yeah, you would think it would be something a bit more than just some small old monitors.
Yeah, because at Disneyland, you can't like freaking throw a quarter off a fucking ledge without somebody knowing and yelling at you.
Yeah. You can't make out without the people coming on overhead and being like, stop it.
Yeah, I tried
stop
to,
touching.
I tried to throw a quarter off the Haunted Mansion down where like they're having the party or whatever, and they stopped the whole ride.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, stop doing that. Like, what the fuck? Everybody, they're watching us always.
Oh,
here.
Oh, yeah. No, I know where like all the cameras are on the rides and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. This is fucking... yeah. That's... if you want to do a crime, do it at Universal Studios Orlando.
Don't do it at Disneyland.
I also love... I just got this game, Jurassic Park Evolution. It's a tie-in for the new Jurassic Park game. It gives you that whole, like, command center view, just like in this movie. It's kind of neat. Ooh. If you want to play that game... kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, a very interesting fact about this movie, I thought I needed to throw this in there when I read about it. The director, Colin Trevorrow, told Empire Magazine that Blackfish, the documentary, was a big influence on this movie. The behavior of the captive Indominus Rex was based on Tilikum, the killer whale's behavior in captivity.
Which is so on point.
Yeah, it's kind of heartbreaking.
It's very heartbreaking. That was probably one of my favorite things I learned about this movie.
The fact that he said that really gives new heart to the Indominus.
Yeah.
It's like...
well, it's horrible because this Indominus Rex, I mean, It has no control.
It doesn't know
what it is.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what's happening, but I mean, what am I supposed to do here?
Like, as Chris Pratt says, it was raised in those walls. All it knows is that hook.
Is that hook, yeah. It's learning its place in the food chain, and I don't think you want to know where it is. Or
you don't want it to figure that out.
Yeah, you don't want it to figure it out. Like, yeah, it's that phrase, like, him thinking it's kind of like Blackfish is like, that's kind of heartbreaking, especially since you're like kind of root for it to be killed because you love the T-Rex and of course you love the Velociraptors, but it's like, it's very tragic for the Indominus Rex.
Well, because it had no, it's like when bad people get a hold of, you know, pit bulls and raise them terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Fight them and it's like, it's not that dog's fault.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I hope you look at the Indominus Rex a little differently when you hear about that.
Yeah. So, watch the movie with different eyes.
Yeah, empty the tanks. Fuck SeaWorld. So let's go into the special effects, which sadly is mostly like 95% CGI in this movie.
Yes. We don't have much info on puppets or anything.
Yeah.
So as reference for the actors, puppeteers wore gray suits with fluorescent dots on them and bicycle helmets to represent raptor heads, which if you haven't seen the pictures of this, look it up.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
That whole like meme picture of Chris Pratt like holding the raptors back. There's a picture of him holding actors back.
Yeah, with giant helmets on.
Yeah.
So most of the dinosaur effects are created using CGI, but animatronic raptor heads were created for the squeeze cage in Owen's raptor paddock. And a practical animatronic Apatosaurus head was also created for a sequence filmed in Hawaii. The one where there's several dead Apatosauruses and Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas like hold one of them while it dies.
Yeah, when they act with that animatronic head, that's one of the most powerful scenes. Is with that practical effect head.
Well, that's one of the few times that you've ever cried at a movie.
It's very, very, it's a very, very well done head.
And it's very sad.
And to be powerful even with not so good acting at that time. I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard's doing okay, but Chris Pratt's kind of flat on that at that time.
Yeah.
But that puppet's really good.
It's a good puppet. Maybe, it's very reminiscent of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and the Triceratops scene. And yeah, it's really good.
Even though CGI is primarily used in this film, for the Velociraptors, it was many times obtained via performance capture techniques. So Colin Trevorrow went to ILM before production and conducted a lot of tests. They found that when a human is behind the movements, you can feel the weight, and it feels unlike what we've seen before.
I want to do that. That would be so fun.
That would be awesome. I want to be captured as a dinosaur.
I play raptor anyways, so just let me do it for you, Colin.
Yeah. Come on, Colin. Let us be dinosaurs.
So there is an unfilmed scene because Steven Spielberg said, "No, I will not let you do this." Every now and then, Spielberg these days will
vetoes.
Make... Vetoes. Yeah.
I'm fine with this veto, though.
I'm good with this veto. I'm saying every now and then these days, he still makes a good decision.
Yeah.
But yes, there's an unfilmed scene where the Indominus Rex is startled by a robot T-Rex. It's kind of like a display in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how like Disney has like dancing robots and stuff. It's kind of like one of those displays. It's a T-Rex though. It's startled by this T-Rex and it rips this T-Rex robot's head off. And Steven said, "Oh no, that's going to be interpreted as CGI shitting on robot animatronics."
Yeah, which he did not want to be disrespectful to Stan Winston.
Yeah, who...
Suggesting that CGI is better than animatronics.
Yeah, and Stan Winston, he passed away in between Jurassic Park 3 and Jurassic World, so that was another thing he didn't want to do. And also, in Jurassic World, you'll see a store. If you look closely, there's a store. I forget what kind of store it is, but there's a store called Winston's.
Oh.
As a tribute to Stan Winston in there, if you look closely.
Yes.
Not to mention, also, not as good or as good of a tribute, but not even a tribute at all, but there is fucking Jimmy Buffett running it. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, I'm sure.
I'm sure everyone who knows the movie knows this fact, but yeah. Jimmy Buffett's running, holding two margaritas yeah. when the pterodactyls yeah. attack. Pteranodon.
Stan Winston is definitely more important.
Stan Winston's more important. So reception, how did people like it? Well, they liked it okay.
Yeah.
It was usually pretty good.
Yeah.
The reception.
How did I look when I was watching it? Because I was...
You were pretty happy with it. When we came out, you looked very happy while you were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came out, you were like, it was pretty good. But I think because you set your expectations really low.
Yeah.
Because you were really scared they were going to do some shit like the raptor flute again.
Yeah.
Because you were like, it looks like it's training the raptors. I don't like it.
I think they're going to like fucking dance and shit.
You're going to be like, they're doing the raptor flute shit again. And I was like, it's going to be okay. And so I think you put your expectations really low
so you wouldn't be
disappointed.
They're doing the raptors flute again.
You were so upset.
I was thinking that.
As in, when the teaser came out, you were really upset.
Yeah.
And then when more trailers came out, you were like, okay.
And then I was like, better not kill the T-Rex again.
No, they gave him redemption. Or
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Her redemption.
Yeah, she's 30 years old now. She's an old lady.
Now she has two sets of scars.
She's an old lady. She looks old, too.
They better rescue her.
I don't know.
Fallen Kingdom.
The lifespan of a T-Rex is 30 years.
Well, they better give her a proper burial.
Yeah, I know.
Or something.
Or have a baby.
Oh, well, she's going to have a baby the last year of her life.
Well, they can clone her.
Clone her.
They can clone Rexy. Save Rexy. Save the dinosaurs.
Save the dinosaurs.
Have you seen that Save the Dinosaurs organization? It's like a fake PETA.
No.
SaveTheDinosaurs.org. It's like their viral marketing.
Because they're trying to save the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's really...
Oh, that's good.
I love...
They have good marketing.
I love viral marketing.
Me too. District 9 really started it off.
Yeah.
But we will address that when we do District 9.
District 9 had great...
District 9 had amazing marketing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason that's Neil Blomkamp's most infamous movie.
Yeah.
It's because the fucking marketing.
Yeah.
Anyways. Rotten Tomatoes had a pretty... good average rating of 71% based
yeah.
on a little over 300 reviews. But that's still better than the 50% that Jurassic Park 3 has.
Yeah, it's sitting at a 50.
And this is the first movie to ever make $500 million in one weekend.
Whoa.
So do not take the reviews as being pretty good, as this movie did pretty good. It did fucking great.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
It made a fuckload of money. People everywhere watched it.
Hmm. Well, I'm excited to see Fallen Kingdom.
I'm very excited to see Fallen Kingdom.
Only a couple days away.
We're almost there. Well, when you listen to this, you'll probably be able to watch it.
Because yeah.
these days they release a lot of movies on Thursdays.
Yeah, that's true. But from when we're recording this, it's like 2 or 3 days away. Yeah.
But we are very excited. I have some pretty good expectations for this one. The trailers have looked really good. I think it's going to be even better than the first one.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the last hybrid dinosaur.
Yes.
Indoraptor is the last one that we watched. Of course, we watched Jurassic World this time out. They were like kind of talking about the Indoraptor in there.
Well, we noticed because now we know.
Yeah. They're like our little side project, kind of. I think that's...
Wink, 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 wink.
I wonder if that's what they were talking about.
A little wink, 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 yeah. wink, wink, wink.
And then Vic Hoskins is like, imagine that one only a fraction of the size when he's talking about...
And you can use it to fight things.
Yeah.
He's a stupid idiot.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see this movie. Trailers look really good.
They're definitely going all out. Like, it's all dino chaos.
It's a real fucking... Like, this is the most action-y Jurassic Park movie's been.
And it's the most, like species I've seen. Like, Allosaurus, Carnotaurus, Baryonyx, Suchomimus, Compi, Velociraptor. Like, they usually don't have this many species.
Well, I mean, maybe what happened is, like, when they abandoned it, like,
yeah.
there was dinosaur embryo, you know, who knows?
Well, Well, I mean, obviously the volcano is like flushing them out of the forest too.
Yeah.
We don't know. We didn't know what was in the forest the whole time.
I am definitely stoked. We will, of course, let you all know what we think.
Yeah. Yeah, we will definitely have to talk about it a little bit because it's just, I'm just super excited. It's more horror oriented. I can't stop talking about it. So yeah, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Look us up. Google us.
Google us. Like all our stuff. Like us on all the bullshits. And listen to all our episodes. We'll be back with the Underground next week.
Yeah.
And we don't have a theme for next month yet because it's still pretty early. So don't worry about it.
We'll probably do a poll on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe we will. So yeah, so don't worry about it. And we will
see you on the other side.
And praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla. You gotta praise him. Why don't
reach
you praise him?
Down into your soul and praise Godzilla.
That was violent.
Yeah.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie out, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.podbean.com. All of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders. But I like to think we a little bit better than that. Come out at your boys, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
Baby, it's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones, too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh, yeah. Bana, 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 everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Hey, this is Liz.
And this is Heather.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From movies and TV to our regular book club and everything in between, we bring you our favorite fandoms with a feminine eye.
We're talking Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter, DC, Marvel, comic books, and anime.
And don't forget sci-fi, fantasy, action movies, video games, D&D, board games, and so much more.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbeam, or wherever you find awesome podcasts.
You can also find us hanging out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and at nerdybitches.com.
Talk to you soon.